If I would,
since I recited the first verse, would I today recite the second verse? And I said, I don't think so. I think I might recite the, a 1,000,000th verse. But I am going to recite another verse, but it's not the second one. And I was thinking of actually counting to see what number it is, because they're not numbered. The first one isn't numbered either, but I can tell you it's the first one. So this is many, and I was going to count them, but I thought, maybe I'm not going to spend my time counting. Maybe some other time. But several hundred verses later, when the beings in this assembly, the great assembly of this sutra, the beings, the leaders of the being of this assembly, they, by the power of the Buddha, they tell us about the Buddha. So one of the beings says, one of the leaders of the assembly says, clearly observe the Dharma. Actually, in the sutra it says, clearly observe the king of Dharma. The Dharma of the king of Dharma is thus. The teaching of the Buddha is the teaching of thus. So this sutra, we don't know, I don't know exactly when it appeared, but it appeared maybe more than 2,000 years ago, perhaps. I'm not sure. And then about 11 or 12, 1300 years later, there was a bodhisattva in China named Zhengjue, who's considered, one of our family members. He's one of the main energizers of the Soto Zen tradition in China. He made this book. He compiled a book of stories, which we call the Book of Serenity, which is the collection of this, which is the collection of stories that he compiled, all these stories, 100 main stories. And then he wrote a verse commentary on each story. And the first story in his collection, I don't know where it came from, but whether he made this story, or where they found it someplace else. But anyway, the first story is, one day, the world-honored one ascended the seat and sat. And then Manjushri, the great bodhisattva of wisdom, struck the gavel and said, clearly observe the Dharma of the king of Dharma. The Dharma of the king of Dharma is thus. And the world-honored one got down from the seat. So in the sutra, it doesn't have that sort of the world-honored one getting up on the seat, because in the sutra, the world-honored one has been sitting on the seat for hundreds and hundreds of verses where people are telling us about the world-honored one sitting on the seat. So the world-honored one is sitting on the seat, and the world-honored one is not talking. The world-honored one is... what's the world-honored one doing? The world-honored one is thusing. Thus. The world-honored one is just thus. But in the sutra and also in this story, these people say, people don't get it, so we're going to tell them what's going on there with this thing that's just sitting there, thus. And again, hundreds of verses telling us about thus. The teaching of thus is infinite. But you can't tell it's infinite because it's just thus. So then people tell you, well, it's... So that's the first... it's the first story in this collection, which is the collection which is most honored in our tradition. The most honored collection of stories, the first one, is from the sutra. And then hundreds and hundreds of years after the sutra, also Dungshan wrote the Song of the Jomer Samadhi, and he also brought up the teaching of thusness, the teaching of thus. The Chinese character can be translated thus or thusness, the teaching of thus. And Hungjar then wrote a verse on this story. But before I tell you the verse, maybe I tell you another story which will help you understand the verse. And that story is about another ancestor who we call the sixth ancestor, Hui Nong. And the sixth ancestor met a wonderful Bodhisattva whose name was Nanyue Huairong. He became one of the main successors of the sixth ancestor. And when they met, the sixth ancestor said to him, now I will say kind of playfully, what is it that thus comes? And thus comes is one of the epithets of the Buddha, Tathagata. You've heard of the Tathagata's teaching, perhaps. The Buddha is thus comes. The Buddha is the coming of the teaching of thus, the inconceivable, ungraspable, infinite thus is the teaching of the Buddha, according to this sutra. And Hui Nong is saying, what is it that thus comes? And what is it that is the Tathagata? What's the Tathagata? And it just he's asking that at the same time that he's just came. So here comes this human who's just come. What is it that thus comes? What is it that thus comes? What is the thus right now? And also, what is the Tathagata? What's the Buddha? The Buddha is the coming of thus. What is the thus right now? He asked this brilliant Bodhisattva, who then said, to say it's this misses the point. Actually, it says, to speak of it as one particular thing, to say it's this, we say this when it's just one, right? We say them for the plural. This is not a plural, right? To say it's this misses the point. So, Manjushri kind of missed the point, because Manjushri said, look, this is it. He said it was this. He missed the point. For our sake, he missed the point. He said, this is the teaching of thus. So I have a story about that phrase, but I'm going to postpone it and go right to the verse. And the verse is, you can get me to tell the story later. This verse is, the unique breeze of reality. Can you see it? Creation constantly working her loom and shuttle, incorporating the patterns of spring into the ancient brocade. But nothing can be done about Manjushri's leaking. Manjushri kind of defiling the situation. The unique breeze of reality, I think it's referring, the poet is referring to the unique breeze of reality. Thus, the unique breeze of the great sutra is thus. It's always thus. It's always thus. And creation, all of us in the Great Assembly, are working the loom and shuttle. And we are in this retreat, and after this retreat's over, we will incorporate the patterns of spring into the ancient brocade. The loom is silent and upright and ungraspable and has no essence. This is a vertical loom. The shuttle is inclined, diagonal, horizontal, working back and forth. In this interaction, the comings and goings of our life are incorporated into the ancient brocade of the Buddha Dhamma. But nothing can be done about Reb talking today because it's on the schedule. And we don't want a protest because the no talk was given today. So here I am talking. So here's another. Here's another pattern of spring. I wrote that phrase, I wrote that statement of Nanyue in response to the six ancestors. What is it that thus comes? I wrote that statement in Chinese on the back of someone's raksu pretty long time ago. And then the person said, I should have asked you this long time ago, but what did you write on the back of my she sent me a photograph of my calligraphy on the back of a raksu, and I didn't know what it said. I could read the characters, but it didn't make sense. So it says, to speak about one is not the middle. Couldn't figure out what that was. So I asked a Chinese friend, and she said, in this case, the character for middle doesn't mean middle. It means more like a target or to hit the target. So it does say, to speak about one or this is not the target. It's not the point. But we do speak about this. And when we speak about this, we can understand that this is not thus. Thus is not this, but thus pervades all the thises. No, this is thus. And yet, this contains thus. Every this contains thus. And every this should be respected to the utmost. So again, in some sense, I'm trying to help you see how wonderful our simple tradition of thus is. Our teaching of thus is so wonderful. And also, it comes from this sutra, which we don't sometimes realize that our practice is coming from this vast oceanic dharma. And also, I think I already said yesterday that the song of the precious mirror samadhi is about the samadhi of the bodhisattva, which is a precious, in which the precious mirror is present. And in the sutra, this kind of samadhi is presented. And Dongshan tells us not so much what's going on in the samadhi, but how to be with what's going on. He tells us what's going on. What's going on is like a massive fire. That's what's going on. But he doesn't go into details about how massive this fire is, but he does tell us how to relate to the fire. The sutra describes these samadhis, but it doesn't tell us maybe what we need to know about how to live in samadhi. So Dongshan helps us and help people back in China, help people like live in the samadhi of this great sutra, and helps us to live in the samadhi of this great sutra, in which there's this precious mirror that's like a massive fire. In the sutra, in the third chapter, we have a presentation of the samadhi. Also, yeah. And also Dogen describes the samadhi in his Bendawa. He tells us what's going on in the samadhi, and he also tells us of what will go on if we relate to the samadhi in a faithful way. So going back to the sutra, the samadhi in the sutra is presented in chapter 3 or book 3, which is called the samadhi of Samantabhadra, Are you familiar with the name Samantabhadra? Well, you're going to get more familiar. Did you notice that you said Samantabhadra's name this morning when you were chanting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Samantabhadra Bodhisattva of great activity. And so this Bodhisattva of great activity is the prototypic Bodhisattva in this sutra. In a way, these are all the bodhisattvas, innumerable bodhisattvas, not even innumerable, but many, many bodhisattvas in this sutra are basically the same bodhisattva. Anyway, Samantabhadra, the great bodhisattva, and Samantabhadra means universal goodness or universal worthiness or universally worthy. Worthy of what? Of respect, of support, of appreciation, of gratitude. This is the great, universally worthy Bodhisattva, Samantabhadra, at the beginning of chapter 3, sits on a lion throne, which is a lotus flower pedestal. And he sits there in the presence, in the face of, guess who?
Yeah,
the world-honored one. And he sits there, and he doesn't say anything, but he does offer himself. She does offer herself to the Buddha. She's got a really nice seat. She sits on it, and she offers herself to the Buddha. She's not sitting there and trying to get something from the Buddha. She's not going, okay, I got the seat, now give me something. No, that's not happening. She is generously offering her whole being to the Buddha, the Thus Come One. She doesn't try to get into the samadhi, which gets named after her. Doesn't really get named after the chapter, gets named after her, because she does enter the samadhi. How does she enter this fabulous samadhi, which you're going to hear about for a while? She enters by sitting and offering herself in the presence of Buddha. Not sitting, trying to get into the samadhi or get the Buddha's enlightenment. She sits and just is in the presence of Buddha, offering herself completely. And thus, she enters samadhi by the awesome spiritual power of the Buddha, offering herself to this great awakening. The awakening has a power to bring us into the samadhi of the Buddha. When I first started practicing at the Zen Center, I had a lot of friends. They're not my friends anymore. Mm-hmm. They're almost all dead. Mm-hmm. Or they ran away. They didn't like thusness. Anyway, I had friends, and a lot of them were trying to get something out of Zen. You're trying to get concentrated, for example, by practicing meditation. And then maybe by getting concentrated, they get awakened. They were trying to get stuff, and they were all frustrated, almost all frustrated, because they're trying to get something from the practice. This practice allows us to try to get something from it, but trying to get something from it is antithetical to it. This practice is not about getting something. It's about giving everything. It's about making everything a gift. So, yeah. Was I trying to get something? I don't know. Anyway, I think so. I kind of gave that up after not too long. Gave up what? Gave up trying to get something. I actually did get something, not very good, but I did get something early on. And after I got it, I thought, this is not what I came here for. I did not come here to get something. This is really kind of mean what I did to get this. I was kind of mean to myself, and by being mean to myself, I got this. I got a kind of concentration. Anyway, that's not what the Bodhisattva Samantabhadra did. She did not try to get something. She just sat there in the presence of Buddha, period, as an act of generosity, as an act of service. But not by doing anything other than just being there with the Buddha. And thus she entered into this samadhi. And then The sutra says the name of the samadhi. This samadhi was called, one translation is, this samadhi is called the immanent body of the illuminator of thusness, which is in all Buddhas. The samadhi is the inner body of the illuminator of thusness, which is this body, this innate inner body is in all Buddhas. It's a body which illuminates thus. Another translation is, it is the seed body or the womb body. It's the womb body of the Tathagata. It's the womb body of the thus come one, which is Vairochana, the illuminator, which is present in all Buddhas. That's the name of the samadhi, which the Bodhisattva entered in the presence of the Buddha, offering herself to the presence of Buddha. So I'm presenting this as a possibility for all of us, that all day long, and during this retreat, all day long is often in this room at your seat. When you sit on that lotus pedestal, you could sit in the presence of Buddha. Because this sutra is saying the Buddhas are not someplace else. They're with every person. So you can sit and acknowledge that you're sitting in the presence of Buddha and offer yourself to be a servant of awakening at your seat. And in this way, you will enter the samadhi, the Bodhisattva samadhi, according to me, which is according to the sutra. And as I said yesterday, Dungshan tells us this teaching of thusness is an intimate communication, an intimate transmission. So Samanta Mahadra, entering this samadhi of suchness, enters it in or as an intimate communion with the Buddha. In that intimate communion, there is the teaching of thusness shining like a precious mirror. You are not it. In truth, it is you. So here we are weaving our tradition, our family stories into the sutra, and weaving the sutra into our family stories, including the stories of me not being able to remember what the characters I wrote meant. But then I found out. And it's so lovely to find out what I wrote. Now I kind of ask a kind of, excuse me for asking this question. May I ask a question which is kind of personal? Is that okay?
Yes.
When you sit, do you wish that you're sitting would be in service of all the Buddhas? Do you wish you're sitting to be in service of all the teachings? Do you wish you're sitting to be in service of the Great Assembly? Wonderful, whoever said that. And if you do wish to be of service, I would say you're just like Samanta Bhadra, who has the great activity of serving Buddhas and serving the Dharma and serving the Great Assembly. In my opinion, I have said enough for today. Is there any other communications that wish to be expressed at this time? Well, here's one. Somebody asked me about receiving the Bodhisattva precepts. So now I would say, when you receive the Bodhisattva precepts, do you wish receiving the Bodhisattva precepts would be in order for you to be of service to all Buddhas. All the teachings and the greatest thing. When I was a child, there were lots of ads on TV for cigarettes. Are there ads on TV for cigarettes now? Things change sometimes. And some of those ads were really fun. One of them was kind of a portrayal of a of a tobacco auction. So these various tobacco companies are making bids for the tobacco. And so this in the ad they said, going once, going twice, going three times, sold American Tobacco Company, sold American, which made Lucky Strikes. So, yeah, it's going once, going twice, going three times, sold Houston Zen Center.